This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 145. It's time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along the path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your certified master financial coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. And we're grateful you've joined us. Check it out at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hey, how you doing, Amanda?
I'm good. How are you?
Amanda, by the way, we're not just here to coach you on your path to retirement financial independence. We're also here to coach you to keep you from ending up in the Squid Game.
Oh, right. Yes.
Have you seen the Squid Game?
I have not. And I don't know. I saw previews and it just did not interest me in the least. But my husband watched it and I said, great, now you can just recap it for me. So that's what he did after he'd watch episodes at night when we were going to sleep. He would just give me like a 2-minute Cliff Note version. I'm like, oh, great. I watched it.
What was his Cliff Note? What was his synopsis? I mean, if you were to say in a couple sentences, what did he say was?
That people got themselves in really bad financial dire straits and were willing to do anything, even go to a mysterious game.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Gambling debt, you know.
There are people that were actually fake. What do you call that? Financial frauds. There were financial frauds in there. People that gambled all their money. I mean, people are not working. I mean, everything that we talk about, these people are in the Squid Game.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, they just don't have money. Some people were like immigrants and money is not given to them. So it's the only way they can get help their immigrant, like their child and their parents and stuff like that. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different storylines. I've only watched a couple of episodes. I mean, I figured by this point, I'm the only person that's ever seen it. So let me watch a couple episodes. So,
I haven't seen it and I'm not going to.
There you go. The acting is not that great. So it's not going to get Academy Awards, but it doesn't matter if you're the number one.
It's the most watched Netflix show ever. It beat Bridgerton.
I don't even know what Bridgerton is.
Well, you don't need to. It's fine.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to do 4 questions.
Okay.
That hit on a variety of topics. Can you read the first one about mortgages?
Well, luckily I can read. So question one, why do you recommend 15-year mortgages over 30 when it seems like you would pay down the 30-year mortgage faster because you can pay more to principal? I'm thinking about this from a standpoint of having extra money every month to put towards the loan, not just the minimum. I'm by no means a math guru, which might be why I don't understand this.
Well, math is hard.
Yeah,
math is hard. You know, if you look at the question, they actually answered the question. There's a lot of reasons, but some of the answers are sitting around the question. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a 15-year mortgage, you are paying off earlier.
You're paying it faster.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of people out there who say, well, I'm going to get a 30-year mortgage, but then I'm going to pay it off in less than 15. And they have great intentions to do that. And then the research shows that the majority of people just don't follow through with that idea.
And it is in the 90% percentile. It's in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah.
Most people,
high 90s, yeah.
People okay. use that excuse to buy a bigger house.
Yes.
Yeah. So they justify it. Oh, I'll do this and I'm going to do extra. Well, what happens? Life happens.
Something comes up every month.
Right.
So you can't.
And you don't do it. But if you do 15-year mortgages, guys, forces you to not buy too much house also.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of people don't think about. Yeah, you're paying off faster. You can still put more on the principal of a 15-year mortgage, but your rates are typically lower. You're forcing yourself to keep from buying too much house because your mortgage payment, total cost of the payment, cannot be more than 25% of your total income.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't fit, you don't go to the 30-year to make it work. That's not the rule. The rule is 15-year payment. And that is your 25% of your income. Now, here's another thing people do. Well, I'll be making more in my job. I'll work my way into it. Well, yeah. I can
well,
tell
what if you,
you
lose your job?
Lose your job. Or like I used to be a firefighter. Those guys haven't had raises in like 5 years. It doesn't mean you're going to always get a higher income unless you change jobs or there's some other like promotional opportunity in the future. You can justify all you want. Bottom line is, what is it when you're buying that house? 15-year, the payment cannot be more than 25% of your budgeted income.
Yeah.
Any other? There's a lot of reasons why. How about you from a real estate referral agent standpoint?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting. This person says, I'm thinking about this from a standpoint of having extra money every month to put towards a loan, not just the minimum. Well, the minimum already calculates that you have to, you by default have to pay more towards the principal every month than you would if you were on a 30-year loan. So True, you don't have quote unquote extra money every month, but that's because extra money is already going towards the principal within your loan payment.
So, question number two.
Yeah, I'd like to learn how to do my own income tax returns via the free online forms, but I have per diem, uniform, union dues, etc. Any recommendations on cheap or free classes or videos?
It looks like this person might be similar to what I did, because when I worked for the fire department, I had union dues, I had uniforms, and I had per diem from doing training and different things like that when I did travel. So within my circumstances, we had someone made out a worksheet of all the things that a firefighter can write off on their taxes. So it's all these little write-offs. You know, it's like I bought books, I did uniforms, I did dry cleaning, all these things.
Does that still apply under the new tax code?
No.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
We know, I mean, the standard deduction now is different than what it used to be. All this nonsense, if you do work it out, it doesn't add up to anything substantial. The new standard deduction is greater than doing all this nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, obviously, what we're going to tell them to do is talk to your tax preparer. But in general, all this nonsense of us keeping track of this and that is not going to do, you're not going to be anywhere near the standard deduction anymore. It's totally different now. Like a mortgage interest is not there, right?
Right. For most people.
For most.
Which
goes back to question one, that interest you've been paying off. Yeah. Why be paying the interest if you're not getting a write off for it? So.
Yeah. Anyway. So you notice I haven't been a tax preparer in like 15 years or so. I don't do my own taxes because I don't have the time nor desire to keep up with the tax changes year to year to make sure I'm getting paying as little in taxes as possible and getting the largest return if one even applies. But if you want to do you and go do your own taxes and take the risk that you're not understanding the tax code properly, then that's your risk. There certainly are programs out there that if you only have one W-2 job are going to walk you through it and you can have a pretty high degree of confidence that you're getting the best outcome there. So I don't know that you necessarily have to watch videos or take classes for that. If your tax situation is pretty straightforward, you know, you have one job, you have one W-2 or something like that. You know, you can just do any of the online H&R Block or what is it? TurboTax, Tax Cut.
Yeah.
I would do any of those programs. They're very inexpensive. You file your federal for free. Usually if it's straightforward, you just pay for the extra forms required. So that's what I would do.
Nice.
I used to do my own taxes that way when I had a very straightforward set of income.
Yeah.
Once you start bringing in like rental properties and multiple states and income from here and there and, you know, different, not just straight wages on a W-2 form, things get a lot more complicated.
Hmm.
It's not to say you can't do it yourself, but I prefer to have an expert do it. That's what they do day in and day out, is keeps up with the tax code changes.
And chances are this person's taxes aren't that complicated. They could easily just pay someone. Like,
it's not going to be expensive.
No.
If you just have one straightforward
number
form,
of forms, right?
It's usually based on the number of forms. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with two more questions. Listen to Rock on Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock and Money, Amanda. And I'm Craig. Welcome. Check us out on Facebook.com/Rock on Money. Our follows are finally going up on Rock on Money. We're trying to get to 10,000 followers. We need 10,000. No, we're at 4,000. We finally hit 4,000.
We're
working our way up. We're working our way up. So.
Well, but so let's just make sure that that's clear, that the Facebook page is different from the Facebook group.
Right.
So we have probably close in the group. We just need people to follow the page.
We have 6,000 in the group. If I could get even half of them over there, it would make a big dent. But for some reason, we can't do that. Here's the problem we've had on Facebook, just to be open, transparency, is we have a lot. There's a lot of financial, I don't know how I call these people, wolves out there. And they're preying on you guys. We have scammers, spammers, all that on Facebook. And if we take a lot of that to the page side, we can't monitor that as much. And they will private message all of you and try and get you into Bitcoin and all this other stuff. And these are people from overseas. It's not safe. So by being in the group, we think we're keeping you somewhat safer. Yeah.
We moderate it pretty tightly.
Yeah, so we kick people out if they try and sell you stuff. Like everyone is a real estate agent. Everybody's trying to make money. And we're trying to protect people from that. At some point, it's like, I don't know. But we need the followers on the page. That's the big key. Because from that, it unlocks a lot of things that Facebook gives us in order to give you guys more opportunities and more content. But we need 10,000 followers. That's what it takes. So maybe my live streams that I'm talking about for the last year will take care of that.
There you go.
All right. Question number 3. Can you read that?
Yeah, I've switched jobs. My new employer does not have a 401k. Should I let my old 401 sit where it is, or is there another place to switch to? I understand I have to open an IRA. Which firms are the best for IRAs? Scared to make the move.
You know the answer to this one. I'm going to let you have this one.
Since you don't have the option of a 401k with your employer, then definitely you want to make sure you're still continuing to save for yourself through an IRA. And the 3 that we recommend are the low-cost providers that we prefer are Schwab, Fidelity, and Vanguard. I have accounts with both Schwab and Fidelity. They're both good. So I don't think it matters. Pick one of your 3, whichever one you feel the best about. And then get your IRA open. And you can contribute up to the maximum of $6,000 per year into IRAs, whether it's one or multiple. The total amount for the year is $6,000. Unless you qualify for catch-up contributions, then it's another $1,000. But once you have the IRA open, Vanguard, Fidelity, Schwab, they will be happy to walk you through how to roll over your 401k balance into that IRA. And that's what I would do so that all of my money is in one pot.
And I'm getting ready to do 2 rollovers right now.
Yeah.
I was waiting a couple months after I was separated between 2 jobs earlier this year, letting all the paychecks kind of settle out. And now I'm going to pull them all out and move them all over. So
it's very easy. Just roll over the full balance and then invest it in whatever funds you're invested in your IRA.
And having opened up an IRA last year with Schwab, I personally use Schwab. It was like minutes. It was super easy.
It's very easy. Now, make sure you are working with them to do the rollover, because unless it's a qualified rollover, you're going to be hit with huge taxes on it. So you want to make sure it's qualified, a qualified rollover. And you do that by working with the companies. They'll make sure you get the right paperwork and the IRS gets the right paperwork so that you aren't paying tax on that during a rollover.
There you go. Yeah, please call them if you're not comfortable using the internet. But I just called.
Yeah.
I want to make sure
it's
done right.
And you want to do like for like, unless you want to pay taxes on it. So if you have a Roth 401k, you would want to roll over into a Roth IRA. If you have a traditional 401k, then you want to roll over into a traditional IRA, unless you're prepared to pay the taxes on the gains now. Because if you roll a traditional into a Roth, then you're going to have to pay taxes on it, the amount of the gains this year.
There you go.
All right, the amount of the gains would be added to your ordinary income, so it would affect your income for the year.
There you go. All right, question number four, but I want everyone to listen to this question. This should have been the lead, okay?
Don't listen to the other questions.
This one's going to make we kind of buried the lead on this one, but this is like the grand finale.
I was explaining to my brother the benefits of contributing to a Roth IRA to save yourself the taxes on all the growth in the future. He says that this is illogical because it means paying taxes now when the dollar is valued higher than it will in the future come retirement time. Any thoughts? Oh,
that,
yeah.
That made my head hurt. I don't think this is when you have to get out the whiteboard or chalk and draw it out, because what he's saying is, you're paying taxes on the current money now because he says the value of the dollar is higher. So he's trying to make it sound it's costing him more, that he thinks taxes will go down. There are several things here. And please jump in if I'm going down a rabbit hole here. But number one, I've never known taxes to ever go down.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't. So
Republican, Democrat, independent, no matter who's president, the taxes don't go down. Like certain taxes might go down, but then other taxes go up to make up for it. So
it's a shell game is what
it's a shell game. In general, your income taxes are just going to continue an upward trajectory.
And even with that, it really doesn't matter, because what you're doing is you're paying tax. You're putting money in there after it's been taxed. But everything that you make on that money that you invested, like I'm going to throw some numbers out there, Amanda. Let's say I throw $50,000 into an investment in a Roth. I have a total account of 50. No, okay, let's do 6,000, because you only do 6,000 in Roth. I only put $6,000 into a Roth account because that's the max for 1 year, okay?
Yeah, so you've been taxed on $6,000.
Let's just say, I'm not going to pull out any calculators, heck with it. I'm not going to do that. But let's say after 20 years, I do nothing else. It's now $100,000. Okay.
And now you have to pay tax on $94,000 versus $6,000.
Right. So I don't have to pay tax on that $94,000 I just made. That is now tax free.
Yep.
Tax free. Now, if I did traditional and I didn't pay tax on the initial $6,000 or the rest of it, when it turns into $100,000, what do I have to do? I now have to pay tax on $100,000 instead of the $6,000.
Yeah, every time you get a paycheck from your retirement account, you would have taxes deducted from it. Whereas if you have a Roth account, you're going to get the full amount paid to your bank account each month during retirement with no taxes withdrawn.
So guys, you tell me what you would rather have, pay tax on $6,000 or $100,000. I don't think it's really difficult to figure out.
Yeah. And I also don't buy this argument that the value of the dollar is going down.
No. The government's very good at keeping the value up. That's the job of the Fed. Don't worry about that. Worry about what you can control. What I can control is how my money is being taxed and when it is. That's all I care about. How about you?
Yeah, I agree.
Roth all day. Roth all day. Not 50-50. Not this other crazy stuff. No. Roth. Because what we're hoping is if you do everything we say, by putting in an S&P 500 fund or better, and you do a Roth 401k IRA, is you're not going to have $100,000, Amanda. We're hoping you're going to put a couple hundred thousand in there over time, but that couple hundred thousand will actually be worth $1-2-3 million.
Right.
I don't want to pay tax on $3 million.
Right.
I'd rather pay tax on the $300,000 I put in that turned into that.
Exactly. So just one last word of wisdom here is make sure your income levels qualify you to make Roth contributions.
Yeah. That's a whole nother issue.
Yeah. So the Roth is only open to people with certain income limits, and it's going to depend on whether how you file your taxes, single, married, filing jointly, married, separate, you know, et cetera. There's always different thresholds there, but make sure you're keeping an eye on those limits, because if you contribute to a Roth and you weren't eligible that year, you're going to get hit with taxes and penalties and have to withdraw that money anyway. Yeah, it's an attempt to help level the playing field a little bit. So this benefit is huge, but it's only open to income earners below. It's around $200,000. I don't know what the exact amount is this year, but it's around that. So if you think you're getting closer to that and you're married and that's your income level combined, make sure you're working with your tax professional to make sure you actually qualify.
There you go. All right. Well, that was a good episode. Thank you, Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.